I want you just to look at your order of service and let's read the theme for the month and the theme for today. What's the theme for the month? That's right. So we are called to exercise our Christian belief within the context of community. And our theme for today? Synergy. Better together. And there's a lovely passage of scripture which speaks beautifully to that. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And in verse 12 we find these words. A rope made of three strands is hard to break. A rope made of three cords is hard to break. Brothers and sisters, there is power in partnership. Let us pray. Loving God, we call on you now to speak to us in accents clear and still. Pray, Lord God, that you would show us the way to go as we seek to build ourselves into a cohesive community, as we seek to reach out and to establish meaningful and in-depth relationships one with the other. Speak to us now, Lord. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You probably can't see this, especially if you're sitting at the back. But I have in my hand a single strand taken from a rope. With very little effort, I could have easily broken this strand. But when you combine a number of similar strands into a single piece of rope, that's another story. You see, the combined strength of the individual cords is much greater than that of each individual strand. But you already know that, don't you? There is something, however, you may not know, that the strength of the rope is actually more than the combined strength of each individual strand. In other words, the total is greater than the sum of the individual parts. Put it another way, 1 plus 1 is equal to more than 2. Why do you suppose this is so? The answer is quite simple, brothers and sisters. Individual strands that make up this rope, the individual strands have weaknesses all along their length, points at which they will easily break. But when you twist them together to form the rope, the surrounding strands tend to cancel out the weakness of the particular, of any given strand. So the weakness in each strand is overcome by the strength of the other strands. It's the same with people. We all have our strengths and our weaknesses. On our own, our weaknesses can easily break us, shatter us, render us incapacitated. But together, in community, we are able to cancel out the effects of our individual weaknesses with the strengths of others, and to offset the weaknesses of others with our strength. That's called synergy. The unbelievable power in partnership that goes beyond mere addition to multiplication. And this is the point of our text here in Ecclesiastes. that just as a rope made with three individual strands twisted together is stronger than a rope with only one or even two strands, so are individuals who live together in community, so are they stronger than those who seek to live their lives by their lonesome selves. The Bible says nothing of lone rangers. The Bible always speaks of one another. The word saint always occurs in the plural. It is always being addressed to community. And so the unknown writer of the book of Ecclesiastes reinforces this point by drawing on some everyday examples of the advantages of being in relationship with others. Assistance in distress, comfort and security. In the first example found in verse 9 of the Old Testament reading, we read, "Two are better off than one, because together they can work more effectively." The New Living Translation puts it this way: two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They get a better return for their labor. It is true that two can reach more than one. Two can do more than one. Two can make more than one. Two can return more than one. And so, we see two travelers on a journey together. On their way, one of them loses his balance and falls. But happily, his companion is there to help him up. But woe to the loner who falls, for there will be no one to help him up. And the outcome of such a situation could spell disaster. There's the story of a youth minister who attended a Special Olympic game where handicapped children competed with tremendous dedication and enthusiasm. One event was the 220 yards dash. Contestants lined up at the starting line. And at the signal, they started to run as fast as they could. One boy by the name of Andrew quickly took the lead and was soon about 50 yards ahead of everybody else. As he approached the final turn for home, he looked back and he saw that his best friend had fallen and was hurt. Andrew stopped and looked at the finish line. Then he looked back at his friend. People were hollering to him, "Run, Andrew, run!" But he didn't. He went back. He got his friend, helped him up, dusted him off, and hand in hand, they crossed the finish line dead last. But as they did, the people began to cheer because they were reminded that there are some things in life that are more important than finishing first. Now, the fact of the matter is, as you and I travel down the rocky road of life, there are at least two times when we are going to go down. Sometimes you're going to fall down, then at other times, you're going to be knocked down. But regardless of whether you fall down through something you do yourself or whether you're knocked down because of the actions of others, you need someone who will be there to pick you up when you fall. It is said that in Germany, they regularly have cases where a body is not discovered until weeks, months, or even years after the person has died. In one case, a man from Hamburg sat dead in his sofa in front of his television for 5 years before he was discovered. Isn't it tragic, brothers and sisters? Isn't it tragic that persons die in this way because there is no one who is around to render any kind of assistance in a time of distress? Has it ever occurred to you
that there are three things that we all need, but which we can never have by ourselves. We need companionship. But one person cannot be a companion to him or herself. We need comfort, but one cannot be a comfort to him or herself. And we need counsel, but one cannot counsel him or herself. The second example from our text takes us to the desert regions of the Middle East, where nighttime temperatures can plunge to some pretty low levels and it can become extremely chilling at night. If it is cold, our text says, two can sleep together and stay warm. But how can you sleep warm by yourself? I welcome the answer, and don't tell me about electric blankets. Here we can just imagine the loner who is constantly moving about in a futile attempt to get comfortable in the night. A situation where if two people were together, the body heat, the combined body heat, would keep them both warm. Now, admittedly, someone might counter my argument by mentioning the annoyance created by someone who has cold feet or someone who hugs the covers. One pastor, in fact, shared his experience. He says, when I go to bed at night and Teresa, that's his wife, gets into bed next to me, there is a phrase that she can say that literally strikes the fear of God in me. It makes me break out into cold sweat. It makes me tremble. It puts a knot in my stomach. It causes my heart to beat irregularly. It causes my blood pressure to shoot up astronomically. No, it's not me. Let me make that very clear. It's not me. What do you think is the phrase that drives the fear of God in this pastor? The phrase is, can I put my feet next to you? And he says, before I know it, I'm saying, dear God, no, anything but that. However, the point is that there are advantages that come from relationships with others. Advantages that cannot possibly be experienced by someone who lives in isolation. Now, in the third and final example, we see the loner being easily overpowered by robbers, by bandits. A situation in which two of them are able very often to successfully defend themselves. Two persons, we are told in the text, can resist an attack that would defeat one person alone. Hence, in the ancient world, many people traveled in clusters rather than going alone. Still good advice today. Do you know the one thing that the United States Marines are taught to do in preparing for warfare? Does anybody have any idea what is one of the first things they are taught? It is to dig a foxhole. In fact, it's a specific command called digging. So when you're on the battlefield and the commanding officer gives the command to dig in, you get out your shovel and you begin to dig. But did you also know that they are taught in boot camp to dig a hole that is large enough for two persons? Why do you think that is so? Because of the very same principle found in this verse. It is undeniable. Two are better than one. Two is safer than one. Two are warmer than one. Two are stronger than one. Life, my brothers and sisters, is designed for companionship, not isolation, Life is designed for intimacy, not for loneliness. Fact of the matter is, every one of us in this church, pulling together, can get far more done than any one of us could do on our own, no matter how gifted you are. In the words of Pastor Rick Warren, we were created for community, fashioned for fellowship, and formed for family. And none of us can fulfill God's purposes by ourselves. The Bible, he says, knows nothing of solitary saints or spiritual hermits, isolated from other believers and deprived of fellowship. The Bible says we are put together, joined together, built together, members together, ears together, fitted together, held together, and will be caught up together. The whole scripture speaks of togetherness, of having someone we can lean on, call on, depend on, and it is again found in our New Testament reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here Paul reminds us that while our relationship with Jesus Christ is personal, it is never private. I want to say that again. Paul reminds us that whereas our relationship to Christ is personal, it is never private. In God's family, you are connected to every other believer, and we belong to each other for now and for eternity. So please, I beg you, the next time a Christian brother or sister comes over to you, noticing that something you're probably not on top form, and asks you what is the matter, don't tell them it is none of their business. To Paul, being a member of the church means being a vital organ of a living body, an indispensable interconnected part of the body of Christ. Rest assured, my brothers and sisters, that God has a place where your abilities can find a place and where you can shine, a place where you can make a difference. But we need each other in order to make that difference. That's what teamwork is all about. A commitment to a shared vision and a common purpose. A commitment that expresses itself in loving and accepting and forgiving, encouraging, serving and supporting and challenging one another. But this depth of relationship doesn't just happen by itself. It starts to happen only as we begin to commit ourselves, to make ourselves open and vulnerable to one another, to love and to be loved by one another, to serve and to be served by one another, to know and be known by one another, and to celebrate and be celebrated by one another. Remember, there is power in partnership. A rope made of three cords is hard to break. Amen.